All right, if you are a guest today, it's good to have you. We are continuing on in the book of Acts. We're in the 24th chapter. And again, this is just a narrative. And so we're basically just covering the facts of what Luke recorded about Paul. This week he's moved from Jerusalem and the mob and going through the Sanhedrin's council in Lysias, the Roman tribune. Moved him to Caesarea, and now he's in Caesarea today when he's going before Felix the governor, and he defends himself again. And he does this in the rest of the book of Acts. He does it today and four more times. And as we always say, as long as you're telling the truth, you don't have to worry. If you ever have to defend yourself, you just tell the truth and God will take care of it. And that's what Paul does. Even though both times he's been amongst crooked people. At the mob, man, they were crooked. Even the tribune who saved him from the mob was about to persecute him, not even asking him what his deal was. And now he goes before the Sanhedrin last week, and my goodness, they're crooked. And now he comes up today, and we see the same thing again. It's sad, and as I said last week, I had become quite cynical, because it's almost like there's nobody you can trust anymore, especially if they have anything to do with any kind of leadership, whether it's the government or whatever it is. You just have to be careful, but always tell the truth, and then you don't have to worry about it. So that's what it looks like. Paul is before Felix. The setting is moved from Jerusalem to Caesarea, and he goes before Felix the governor. We can't read the whole set of scriptures through the whole chapter just because it's so long, but I encourage you to go home and read the whole chapter, because we're going to talk about the issues. We just can't read them all. It says 5 days later, the tribune had Paul transferred that night with all those guards to Caesarea to keep him from being assassinated. So now 5 days later, after Paul has already been in Caesarea, this happens. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders. Those were of the Sanhedrin that Paul would have stood before last week, and a lawyer named Tertullus. We don't know if he was Greek or Jew. We don't really know. It wasn't uncommon for Jews to have a Greek lawyer because they were more familiar with the Roman setup. It could have been. Luke doesn't really discuss it, so we don't really know. Could be. Either way. And they brought their charges against Paul before the governor. So when Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. what he does here is he tries to sugar up the governor by praising him for all this stuff that he hasn't done. You ever seen that happen before? I remember one time on Steve Harvey's show. Y'all familiar with Steve Harvey's show? Years ago, he was an African-American guy who portrayed the African-American people the way they are, but he could get away with it. It's just a fact. And he was being interviewed for a position at the school by the principal, and he didn't realize in his interview that the principal, who now was totally different looking than she was in high school, was one of his classmates in high school, 20 years ago. So he walks in and he starts, he's a jokester anyway. And he said, man, the last time I was in the principal's office, I was sitting there for putting a sign on the back of a fat girl that said, I sweat Crisco. And he didn't realize she was that girl. And anyway, this is what she said, just save the sugar for your pancakes. He said, whoa, because he was trying to say how grateful and how appreciative. She said, just save the sugar for your pancakes. This is what he's doing. Everything he says, Joseph, the Jewish historian, proves as an absolute lie. He tries to sugarcoat it. This is what he says. We've enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought reforms in this nation. There was more trouble under him than any other Roman governor in Judea in the history until Rome had the war. So all this is an absolute lie. Everywhere and in every way, most excellent Felix. We acknowledge this with profound gratitude. Can you hear that? He's just sucking up to him. Maybe he'll win in his favor. I guess that's what he's trying to do. But in order not to weary you further, I would request that you be kind enough to hear us briefly. We found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He's a ringleader of the Nazarene sect and even tried to desecrate the temple. So we seized him. By examining him yourself, you will be able to learn the truth. There's a textual variant in here that the Western text has that a lot of our translation from Kodak Bisa doesn't use. There's a few lines in there that explains more of this is what's going on. A lot of people, you know, they just say, we don't really think that was in a lot of the majority script, so we're not going to use it. But it does explain some things. Basically, they said, oh, we were going to arrest him, but y'all seized him from him. So basically, we know the rest of the story. You just examine him yourself, and you'll be able to learn the truth about all these charges that we're bringing against him. So all the Jews, Ananias and the elders from the Sanhedrin who are with him, agreed with him. Oh, that's true. So he starts with this lawyer's accusation toward him. In his letter, now remember, when the tribune from Jerusalem sent Paul down last week, he sent a letter with the cavalry to give to Felix to explain the whole deal. Right? You remember that? Go back and read it. Lysias had already said, I don't find anything wrong with this guy. He doesn't need to be in prison. He surely doesn't need to be put to death. He told him every one of these things that was going on, and he sent it to Felix. Now that they arrived evidently 5 days after Paul's been there 5 days, and now these people have come, the accusing party was Ananias, these elders, and this lawyer. And he began with that flattering appeal, you know, trying to sugar him up so maybe he'll do something. And evidently Josephus said this was pretty common in the Roman system that you would try to do that. Still common now, right? You know, I have to be careful. In years past, in my position, new people to the church, and I don't mean just this church. I'm just talking about all the places we've been. When they come to the church, they start telling me all these great things about themselves. And all I say is, time will tell. And boy, they talk a big game. In 3 months, you can't find them. They're going to help you do this, and they're going to help you do that. I'm thinking, that's the kind of what we're talking about. It goes on all the time in every capacity. Oh, he praised the governor for the peace he had brought to the nation. That was a lie. Josephus said, absolutely not. There was less peace under him than anybody else. But they said he's causing sedition, and, you know, that absolutely would get Felix's attention because Rome, they were so caught up in this Pax Romana, which was peace. You know, if it hadn't been for that, wherever they went, they secured peace. So to anybody, the Christians, it was absolutely necessary for Paul for that to be where he could travel all over the world. That's exactly what he did because of that. And whenever that was talked about, surely, you know, Felix is going to say, oh, yeah, we're good at that. So he's, you know, he's brushing him on the shoulder. But he's strange, you know. He's kind of like one of my deceased uncles, bless his heart. He just could not tell the truth, you know. You know anybody like that? He'd rather climb up the tree and lie than to stand on the ground and tell you the truth. It's just what it was. And here's the bad thing. He knew, I knew he was lying. So you don't even say anything. You say, what is going on? You just let it go since nobody's life was in danger. And that's exactly what he's doing. Everybody knows. The Jews know this is not true. He has scarcely done this in any fact. Josephus records it. Even remember now, Josephus is not a Christian. He's just a Jewish historian alive at the time and is recording all this stuff. You can see it in, you can buy Josephus' Wars. You know, I have them. You can go back and see all these things that he's written. He gives an account of it. In the total lack of sympathy of the understanding of the Jews, he didn't do them right. No Jews would have felt toward Felix the way Tertullus was professing that they would. No, not at all. Finally, he gets to the charges. He said, number one, he's a troublemaker. Literally, it's translated, he's a pest. Man, he's a plague. We need to do something about him. He's stirring up all these riots. He's causing all this problem all over the civilized world. Wow. He's widening out a little bit. He says all over everywhere throughout the Roman world. It's the charge of sedition. Rome didn't like that. They didn't like anybody challenging them. So absolutely, again, this was going to get Felix's attention. They would take that seriously. He would become attentive at the hint of somebody who's trying to stir up trouble. Remember what they did with Paul back at the mob, right? Whenever the tribune leader said, we thought you were that Egyptian who had just called a riot. Remember, at this moment in time, there were all kind of rebellions going on from the Jews trying to overthrow the Romans. It was constant. And that's what they thought Paul was. And he said, no, you can speak Greek and Hebrew. You're probably not that crazy Egyptian that was out there in the desert. His entire administration had been marked by having all this trouble. Josephus says it. He had so decisively and cruelly maintained the peace. He said, you know, I'm in control, and was brutal against them. Now, his second charge was this. He's a ringleader of this sect called the Nazarenes. Paul was a leader. But what he's trying to do is he's trying to say that these Christians are troublemakers, and they're always causing trouble. And now remember, we'll come to it in just a moment. Who was Felix's wife? She was a Jew. Did he know anything about Christianity already? You better believe it. Did he know anything about the way that Paul talks about it? Absolutely. Why? Because she would know, and he knows. So he's hearing all these things, and he's going to wade through them. He could not substantiate the charge because Felix had already been informed about the Christians. He knows something about it. Number one, Lysias has already sent him a letter. He hasn't done anything wrong. He is not guilty whatsoever. Crookedness just didn't just start. Y'all know that, right? Hello? Bless our heart. It's on every corner, isn't it? I probably shouldn't say this, but I am. I hope y'all didn't see our illustrious president, what he did to all of us who might be remotely not in the same camp as him. Did y'all see that Darth Vader picture that he had? The Marine guard standing by him. Did he talk about inflation? Did he talk about the gas price? No. He talked about how everybody that was for Trump is the enemy of the republic. They ought to move him out now. That's what you got. You know, when you got crooked leaders, this is what you have. We had a crooked tribunal who was about to persecute Paul before he knew he was guilty. The Sanhedrin, who was a religious group who was supposed to be fighting for the truth, lied. And now he's in front of another governor who's just as crooked. It seems like everybody's crooked. Isn't that right? The boil this thing down is you just tell the truth. And God's going to take care of it. Because it is just, it's crazy how everybody's crooked. Just tell the truth. That's what you got to do. That's all you got to do. He already knew a lot that was going on. His third charge was he violated the temple. Now, Paul's going to answer all of these. Remember what we saw a couple weeks ago, how, and Josephus says this, and they found some archaeological finds where in the temple area there was a small wall that separated the court of the Gentiles from all the other courts, and there was a marking there that says, any Gentile that goes beyond this wall, you will be killed. And the Romans had given the Jews the authority because they respected their religious precinct. So if you go before that, remember we saw that, and Paul said, I didn't do that. That's what they're accusing him of. That's what it was. The Asian Jews had accused him of it, remember? If Tertullius could substantiate that charge, Paul would have been over. You know, they'd have killed him because they would have turned Paul back over to the Jews, and the Jews had the right to kill him. That's what would have happened. So he didn't do that. Why? Because they couldn't prove it. The accusation was false, absolutely. Why? Because where were the Asian Jews when they could have testified that this is what happened? Paul says in just a minute, where are they? If that's what I did, why don't you call up a witness who can tell us that? Why weren't they not there? Because they couldn't prove it. It was all a lie. That's exactly why they were not there. Now, he defends himself. You know, if you're willing to tell the truth, you just defend yourself. Ain't that right? And you'll come out cheaper. You might still spend time in jail, but who knows? If you got a lawyer, you may still find time in jail, right? Isn't that right? Because you don't know who's paying them under the table. You say, man, you are cynical. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. All of it's taking its toll. I don't trust hardly anything that I can't verify anymore. Why? Because everybody turns out to be crooked. I mean, from that kind of political perspective, it's law enforcement, everything. It seems like everything has been affected to an extreme level. And in my lifetime, it didn't used to be that way. You know? There were people you could count on. They're going to do the right thing. Now, I've lost that. I'm sorry. I hope we get it back. I hope I get it back. Paul's defense. And when the governor had beckoned him to speak, Paul answered for as much. Paul didn't put all that sugarcoat on. Here's all he said. You've been around this area enough to know. You know how to judge this case. That's all he said. He didn't go sugarcoat all that stuff. He didn't pour all that syrup on it. He said, I cheerfully make my defense, seeing that thou canst knowledge, that you have the knowledge, and you know. He starts off. Not more than 12 days was I in Jerusalem worshiping. I'm a pilgrim. I've only been in Jerusalem 12 days. How can I raise up a riot in 12 days? Hello? Logic. Can you do that? And neither in the temple did they find any me disputing with anybody in the crowd or in the synagogue or in the city. No, I didn't. Neither can they prove to these things that they accused me of. He began with only a reverence to him saying, I know you know the situation. You ought to be able to judge it. That's all he said to him. First, the charge of stirring up an insurrection. He was a political agitator. You know, that's what our illustrious president called us semi-fascist, didn't he? Did I get that right? Y'all know what that is, right? Paul answered. He had no history of inciting the Jews. He said, I haven't done that. He'd only been in Jerusalem for the 12 days to arrest it. How in the world, I was there to worship. How in the world could I raise a rebellion up when I'm just a pilgrim, just showed up in town? That's impossible. The latter, he said, he just turned to Tertullian's words right around against him. He said, it's not logical. Felix would be able to verify the charges against him. He said, you can. Paul responded that the opposite of the case that Tertullian said was true. Just tell the truth, right? I'm sorry, I'm having to drink. Through that. Can y'all hear me all right? Am I at least talking slower? Yeah, I'm sorry. He responded that the opposite was the case. You can verify it. You can do it. I was worshiping. Remember what he did? And he goes back and he recounts what happened in chapter 21. He says, Nazarite vow, and I went through the purification, and I was doing these things for these guys. I was there to worship. I wasn't causing a riot. You can go back and look at it. You can tell. That's exactly what he's doing. That's what he said in these verses. Go back and read it. He recounts. That's exactly what's going on. He says the Jews simply could not give any proof of any things they're accusing him of. Isn't that amazing? He responded to the charges. Somehow this treasonous behavior was bound up with the being a ringleader of the sect. Now, Paul took issue with this. Because, you know, a sect is like this. You have Christianity, and then you have this offshoot group that comes off over there outside that's really not a part of it. He said, oh, wait a minute, let me clarify this. No. That's not what this is. The Pharisees, that's a sect. The Sadducees, that's a sect. We came right up out of Judaism. Why? Because Judaism says there's a Messiah coming who's going to die on the cross and rise again. We came right up out of that. Don't call us a sect, because we're not. He clarified that thing. He said, wait a minute. I like Jordan Peterson. He said, wait a minute. That ain't right. I love Jordan Peterson. All these crazy people he interviews, and they interview him, and they'll start saying the word. He said, wait a minute. That ain't what the word means. I love it. Well, what? No, he said, that ain't what the word means. Let's define the word. You use that word. That ain't what the word means. Get it right. Get your facts right. And they don't know what to do, because he just called their bluff, and they're lying. And it's the same thing. He said, wait a minute. Oh, I'm affiliated with a group, but it ain't what you're saying it is. And he comes on down with that, because his main thing he's defending is he's on trial because of the resurrection of Jesus. That's the issue. And that's the issue every time he's doing it between now and when it's over. That's the issue. Did you know that's still an issue? You can talk about God, and you can talk about fluffy clouds, and you can talk about all the religious stuff you want to, but you start talking about Jesus, and everything separates. Still that way. Start talking to Muslims and bring up Jesus. Start talking to Jehovah's Witness and bring up Jesus and talk about who he really is. You start talking to any of these groups about Jesus, everything separates. That's exactly what it was then. It's still the same thing. Nothing's changed. He said, we're not a party. We're not some denomination that came up out of this thing like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We are the very heart that came out of Judaism, because Judaism prophesied Messiah would come and die and rise again. That's why we're here. It's a big issue. No offshoot thing. We didn't just come off the side out there somewhere. No. We believe the scriptures just as the Pharisees and just as the prophets in the Old Testament. We share the hope of the coming of the resurrection, the total resurrection. He confronts Felix and his wife about this. You'll see how Felix shuts him down at the very, very end, because when Paul starts talking about judgment and self-control, they get real convicted. He said, you're going to have to leave now. That's usually what happens, right? When you start talking to people about an issue in their life and they get convicted, they either change or they say, I'm done. And that's exactly what he does. We'll get to it. Maybe we'll get there. It had an ominous tone to mention the resurrection of the unjust. When you got a man there who has a wife that he shouldn't have because he had a conspiracy to kill his wife's first husband so he could marry her. Josephus unfolds that for you. You know, it was Agrippa's daughter. She married a guy from Syria first, and Felix had him killed so he could marry her. So when you're talking about self-control and righteousness, you've gotten a little bit convicted. You don't know what you're going to do, so you have to ask him to leave. That's what happens in the later verses. His reference to the resurrection, it is the main thing. Paul said, I'm on trial today because I believe Jesus is Messiah, that he died and he rose again. That is the issue. In the present passage, that was precisely Paul's point. He believed the same scripture. He believed all those things. He worshiped the same God. He shared the same hope. But here's where we divide, that Jesus is Messiah, that he died and rose again. That's still the dividing point. It's a dividing point between Baptists who don't believe Jesus was God, who don't believe there's sin in the world. It's the dividing point in Presbyterians. It's a dividing point in all the denominations. There's a point in where some of them say, oh, we don't really believe that. That's not important. It's important. He said, I parted ways. I'm a part of the way. We parted ways with all that because we believe Jesus died and rose again. They believe that. That had begun in the resurrection had begun in Jesus. You know what Jesus said? I am the light. I'm the resurrection. If you believe in me, you're never going to die again. That's what he's talking about. It became clear that it was not the resurrection in general, but the resurrection of Jesus that he's talking about, that the Jews just cannot handle. His third charge was that he desecrated the temple. We already referred to that, and that's what he does. He goes back in this chapter and recounts, listen, I didn't desecrate the temple. I went through all the religious rites that were supposed to be that they said I should do with a Nazarite vow. I did this, and I went through these cleansing. I was there in the temple. I did all these things exactly right. I didn't desecrate it. You know, who desecrated it was the Asians who raised all this fuss. They're the ones who sided the riot. Where are they? If they're doing all this, why don't you call them in and let them testify against it? He said, no. What they did was they made up a lie. Because they saw a Greek in the city of Jerusalem with Paul, and they knew he was with him in Ephesus, they just said, oh, yeah, he was with him. What's that called? Fake news. Do we ever have fake news? How about the Russia collusion? Huh? How about the Hunter buying a laptop? Well, you shouldn't be talking about it. That's the same thing, ain't it? I mean, it's the same thing. You can't get away from it. Everybody's lying. Just like Felix. He was lying. You'll see what he does. He decides not to decide, and that's his decision. Why? Because he's trying to win favor with the Jews. So he keeps Paul in prison for 2 years for no reason. They should have been there and brought charges against me. Where are they? Paul just made a big Roman legal step. Why? In the Roman court, you better have a witness. He said, where are they? So automatically, the judge should say, this thing's done. There's nobody to even speak against you. You're free to go. That's what should have happened. Instead, there are total lack of supporting evidence. So what are you going to do? to have made an accusation against Paul with no witnesses? Oh, that was a no-no. But still, when you got somebody crooked running anything, it doesn't really make any difference, does it? Far from having defiled the temple, he was following it to the letter, doing everything that they said he was supposed to do. That Luke and who had taken over? I forgot now, which apostle? John had taken over the leadership of the church in Jerusalem whenever they brought him back and said, "Brother, we really want you to do this, remember?" He had come there to bring offerings. Would I bring offerings if I'm going to cause an insurrection? He demonstrated all these things and said, "There's no supporting evidence. I haven't done anything wrong." So he proceeded to the one thing. He said, "I'm guilty of one thing." And all these people here, Ananias and all these elders of the Sanhedrin, they can verify it. I'm guilty of one thing, and this is what it is. I'm guilty of this. I believe in the resurrection of the dead because of Jesus. He said, "I'm guilty." That's it. He said, "That's the only thing I'm guilty of," and the Jews wouldn't have it. Go back. Remember, we've gone through this, all these chapters. When he got to that point, oh, they couldn't handle it, boy. What is it now? Jews now, they don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They don't believe in the resurrection of the dead. They don't really have any hope. When's the last time you've been to a Jewish funeral? What hope did they give? Nothing. They just get up there. I've been there. They just read something out of the Old Testament. No hopes whatsoever. That's exactly what was going on then. Paul knew he had the hope. Paul was in control. You know, I thought about this. Jerry Falwell was a master at this. Y'all know old enough to know Jerry Falwell, who he was. Some of you are. I didn't agree with everything that he did. He did a lot of good stuff. But I tell you one thing the boy did. It doesn't matter how he was attacked and by who. He always controlled the situation. He got his point across, even though they were accusing him. That's what Paul's doing. Paul's in control. He said, "All this. Paul's in control of the situation. The resurrection was the contention spot with the Jews. Absolutely. And Paul said, "This is the issue. What separated him from his fellow Jews was that Jesus was the Messiah and he died and rose again." That was it. He said, "I'm guilty. I'm guilty of that. That's what I believe." Now, let's come to the end. Felix is like a lot of our politicians. They all pansies. You know what a pansy is? Just a wimp. Won't do the right thing. They sell out for either just being liked by everybody. I got Christian brothers in major leaderships in our denomination, and they're pansies times 1,000. I would rather hear our cats meow than hear anything they have to say. I wouldn't walk out to the highway to get anything free from a Marine. I'd throw it in the trash and burn it. You said, "Boy, you kind of against them." Yeah, they sold out. And they're in places of leadership, and God's going to spank them if they're even saved. I'm not sure you can be saved, know all that, and turn away from it. You know what I call that? I call that apostasy. When you know better and you turn back, you're doomed. And the chance of you ever coming back is zero. Don't get there. Don't get fooled in all this. "Oh, yeah, I know this." And then you get by in all these systems that everybody's coming. Before you know, you don't even believe the first thing anymore. You end up being done. You don't want to get there now. Anybody can get there. The scripture says you can. What did John say? "They went out from us." Oh, they were playing a good game, 1 John chapter 2. "Oh, they went out from us," he said, "because they never really were of us. Because had they been of us, they would never have gone out from us." Happens all the time. People say, "Oh, no, they just backslid." No, they're apostates. That's what I think anyway. That's my opinion. You don't have to agree with me. I don't agree with myself sometimes, so that's all right. The outcome of the trial, he could have said, "You know, I have all license, what he sent. I've heard his testimony. There are no witnesses. The guy's free. He hadn't done anything wrong. I should just let him go." That's what the deal should have been. Go back and read it. That's what the tribune sent to him. He said, "There's no reason for him to be in prison. There's surely no thing for him to be killed." And look what happens. What does he do? He doesn't give a verdict. Oh, he does. He decides not to decide, and that's his decision. You know, people do that all the time. They say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to decide about Jesus today." I said, "Oh, no, you just decided. You decided not to decide, and that's your decision. Don't say you didn't decide. You decided by not deciding. You can't get away from that one. It's like being on the fence. No, you ain't. You're on one side or the other. And when's the last time you've seen a chicken on a clothesline? Y'all don't even know what that's like, do you? Boy, that's hard. They can't stay there long. Right. You know, check that out sometime. I'm sure somebody's got a video or online. It's kind of funny. He refused to pass judgment until he gathered further evidence. Well, I'm going to send word to Lysias and get his. He's already got it in his hand. Wait a minute. Well, I got to wait till I accumulate more data. For what? Why in the world would our Southern Baptist Convention go out there and pay some ungodly system to go in there and investigate all the things that, and we have problems? Why in the world would we go out there and pay some of them to come in and try to tell us what's wrong with our own self? Are you crazy? Yeah, they are. It's nuts. And they're losing their mind. Some of them already lost their mind. You didn't know all that, did you? You don't need to know all that. Just trust Jesus. God's going to work it out. Unfortunately, some of them are going to end up in a hot place. He was waiting for Lysias to come and give his report. He already has it. What's he doing? He's lying. Wouldn't you say that? Eh? Hello? That's a lie, ain't it? He already sent it. He had already stated that. He hadn't done anything wrong. Let the man go. He's waiting. Come on now. There's no indication anywhere in history that he sent a letter to Lysias and that he ever sent anything back. Josephus doesn't say anything about it and all the other stuff's going on. He put the whole matter off. Why? He didn't want to decide. There's speculation on why. Number one, there's a lot of influential Jews in his area, powerful Jews in his area. He knows they hate Paul, so if he lets Paul go, boy, he's already having a lot of trouble, right? He only lasts a couple years, and then they dismount him. The emperor takes him out because he's such a bad manager. But he says, oh, you know, I got to stay in touch with him. And actually, Luke alludes to the fact that he may be just trying to get a bribe out of him because Jewish historians, Cicero, Josephus, all of them quote, when they know Roman leaders were crooked and accepted bribes, Luke says, absolutely, that's one of the reasons he's holding him. You know, maybe thinking, oh, wait a minute, he brought some money to give to the offering. If he still got it, maybe I can get some of it. Remember? Remember that money? We don't know what happened to that. It never shows exactly what took place. I don't think he still has it. Several days later, Felix came with his wife, Drusilla. She's a Jew. She is the king's daughter, now married to him, because he killed her first husband. Had it set up to have him, so he can marry her. She's only 16. She's a Jew, though. And they listened to him as he spoke about his faith in Jesus. What does he do? He's defending himself, but he's talking about Jesus in front of them. How about that? When you get on the spot, what do you talk about? The weather? How the economy's going? You talking about Jesus? He's talking about Jesus. And his discourse on righteousness. Remember now, you got a marriage situation here that's absolutely wrong from Roman and Jewish perspective. Because all the crazy stuff that's happened just so it could take place. He's talking about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. Why in the world you think Felix wouldn't be nervous? You know, when people start being confronted by their sin, they do one or two things. They confess it and get right, or they run. And they say, man, I don't want to deal with this. So they get away from everybody who's going to deal with it. Or they get away from anybody who reminds them of it. They don't even have to say them. You know, just the presence of somebody can be such a conviction that when someone's doing wrong and they don't want to fix it, they stay away from people that they know will bring that conviction on them just by their presence. Oh, boy, you better believe that happens all the time. That's why you see, when you see people starting to wander off from their Christian journey, they start to avoid people of faith. Why? Because it reminds them. Even though the people might not say anything to them, just their life being lived out for Jesus reminds them of their life, and they don't want to deal with it, so they run from it. Happens all the time. You know, that's a good sign when you know when somebody's going somewhere they shouldn't be going, when they start getting away from people that remind them to try to encourage them in their life, that's exactly a sign. That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I'll send for you. I can't handle that. I told you all that story about the boy down in another part of Georgia, and I'd go visit with him, and he was coming to church, and I knew his whole family situation. It wasn't good, but I hadn't talked to him about it. I just go hang out with him sometimes. He was farming with this other guy, and I just go, they always kept some kind of up-to-date equipment. I like to see how it worked. So I'd go out there and hang out sometime. And, it got where he was coming pretty regular, and then he kind of quit. And I didn't say anything to him. I just showed up. And he said, well, I guess you wonder why I ain't been. I said, no, that's you, brother. He said, I can't handle it. I said, what you mean? He said, all the stuff's going on. Every time you talk, it seems you're talking to me. He said, and I can't handle it, because he wasn't going to change his life. If he's going to change his life, it wouldn't bother him. But he said, it's just too much pressure. I can't handle it. And I didn't know that. I don't think about him when I'm preaching. I'm just preaching through the scripture. But God was using it. It's just like, you remember Zacchaeus? That's the way it is. When you go through the Bible and let it speak for itself, you never know who's up a tree and out on a limb. So, you can't ever accuse me of picking on somebody if I just go into the scripture. If it hits you, you're just you. That's exactly what's going on. He said, I can't handle it, man. And when I left, he had never come back to the church. He's still a friend of mine. I didn't have anything against him. He didn't have anything against me. He just didn't like the pressure of God's word convicting him. So until he's ready to change, he's going to stay away. That's exactly what's going on here. I'll call you some other time. And at the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. So he sent to him frequently. He stayed there 2 years, remember? Kept him in prison 2 years. Josephus, the Jewish historian, related the unusual circumstances of Felix's marriage with Drusilla. You can read it in Jewish Wars. He talks about it. She was the daughter of Agrippa the First, Herod of Acts chapter 12, when all that was going on. Whatever the thing was, it basically comes down to the fact, pretty evident, he wanted to appease the Jews. He knew if he let Paul go, they would be mad. He already had enough trouble with them. So he's not going to let Paul go, and he doesn't have enough evidence to convict him. So he said, I'm not going to decide. So he just keeps him in jail for 2 years. If that ain't a pansy, what is? Hello? You ever act like that? Well, I know I should be doing this, but it'll cost me too much, so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do the right thing. It always costs more to do the right thing, doesn't it? Anybody can do the right thing. Anybody can be a drug addict. Anybody can be a liquorhead. Anybody can do all that other stuff. It gets serious when you say, I'm not going to do it. Hello? Ain't that right? Oh, that's who he was. He focused on the prospect of the coming judgment. Oh, when he's talking about righteousness, they understood enough about that to know that, oh, wait a minute, he's talking about judgment, and we're guilty, and we haven't done anything to try to fix it. I mean, his whole marriage situation, what he's doing to get there. It explains Felix's alarm and why he abruptly says, oh, no, Paul, leave. I can't listen to this anymore. He added even more time to comment on the period by noting that he sent for Paul frequently. Maybe saying, if I keep bringing Paul back, maybe he'll give me a bribe, and then I will let him go. He did nothing. He should have taken care of the situation. He didn't. So Paul, when Felix was dismissed 2 years later, Paul was still in prison. And we'll pick that up. Somebody else takes the case now. His third defense. Just tell the truth. That's all you got to do. That's all Jesus wants. You're going to make mistakes, but when you make mistakes, say, man, boy, I botched that one up. Will you forgive me? That goes a whole lot longer way than just lying about it. Isn't that right? All this stuff's going to come out in the wash one day, right? One day you're going to stand before Jesus, and he's going to show you your whole life on a big screen, and you're going to say, oh, no, I didn't do that, and he's going to flip it all back and say, you forgot? Let me show you. Ain't nothing going to escape. Best thing to do is confess it. He forgives it, and you go on, and he helps you fix the situation. There usually ain't much that can't be fixed. From your perspective, you might try to fix it with somebody, and they don't want it fixed, so then you've done all you can do, right? You know what Jesus says? You forgive and go on. If they don't, you can't control them. But you deal with the situation. Try to confront it and say, I did this and I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And then go on. And then you're free. That's what Paul does. He makes his defense. And, everybody's thinking, well, this means that he's going to get a new judge, everything will go better for him. Well, that ain't the case, unfortunately, as we'll see throughout these next three chapters. It's just remind us, the nonsense that we see going on in the world around us today, it didn't start with us. We all learn something from it, though, can't we? Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have it in control. Father, help us not forget that. When it seems that everything is dark, you're in control. Help us live for you. Help us tell the truth. Help us live the truth out in our lives to honor you. And your will come to pass. Regardless of what it costs us, help us live out and tell the truth. And you will defend us. In Jesus' name, amen.